Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Well, wasn't that a nice, delightful little intro?
It's a bit different.
Different. Thanks, Bog Boy, for that single. I like it. On episode 76, would you believe, of Hatchet,
wow,
with your hosts, Chris Trott,
Ross Hornby,
Alex Smith. We're here today for the next 45 minutes or so to talk to you about a couple of ideas we might have.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Some of the just the hilarious, crazy things that may or may not be happening
seminar
in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so settle in for this TEDx. Keep your eyes on the road if you're driving. And
actually, close them and then open them again.
Whoa,
now close them.
Close them longer, coward.
No,
close them until I say open them again.
Coward.
Open them again.
Oh, my God.
Don't take any...
Just in case they were still playing the game.
Yeah. Officer, what were they listening to before they crashed? Well, I don't know, something called Hatchet? What's that?
Let's rewind it a little bit. Oh.
Rewind it a little bit. Oh, they
this is
paid
actually
attention to it, like they have no kind of agency.
This is relevant to something I read this morning about a change in the law in the UK, so that interacting with your phone whilst driving is going to become like illegal under like safe car driving rules. So before
it was
you cannot
already
call and you cannot text, as far as I'm aware, whilst driving. But beyond that, interacting with your phone in other ways wasn't actually prohibited under any law. So, but there is an exception in that if you're using contactless payment, you can use your phone. So basically, allowing people to like drive-throughs.
Yeah, drive-throughs are allowed to touch your phone. I thought it was basically if you are seen to be touching anything like on your dash or like on a front console, it's considered that your attention's off the road. Obviously, this is a very specific niche kind of thing that you'd have to be seen doing it, right, or reported doing it. If people are even using their phones not hands-free anymore, then that's a big no-no. But yeah, no, I thought that was really illegal, but okay, so it's official.
It's kind of common sensey. I just think that some people think that they might get caught out by like, yeah, sometimes I literally will hit a different route on my sat nav when it suggests like there's a faster route, so I'll just be like, yeah, okay,
right,
you know,
okay.
Is I guess people are worried that they might get caught out for that, but I think you're right.
I think
it probably won't be enforced, or it's something that's not enforceable. Like, policing has got like no staff at all now. There's a staffing crisis in the UK police. If they start putting funding into getting people to catch people fiddling with a phone whilst driving, it feels a little bit disproportionate.
I don't imagine that's the issue, though. It's more of a case of, like, if we tell people, at least they're aware, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like,
be cautious.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, look, is it clear on the road? Do I have a couple of seconds to just press a button? Or not even that, just to press a button? Then sure. But I think, it's advisable not to get distracted. Because, it is a big distraction sometimes. If you're like, even if it's a sat nav, you're like kind of a bit like, oh, wait, is it that left? Is it? Oh, fuck. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, anyway.
Don't close your eyes whilst listening to us.
Fairly rounded up. I just thought
I'd segue on the highway
briefly.
Code.
Yes, Christopher. What is the first rule of the highway code, Christopher?
Open your eyes.
That's not the first rule of the highway code.
Don't masturbate whilst driving.
These are all good answers, but not question.
Keep both hands on the wheel.
I know someone who did that. That's nuts.
Masturbate whilst driving.
Yeah. Yeah. They told me once, and they just finished in a pile of receipts that they had in the side. I was like, how did you even? What? Why? Like on the whilst you were driving, you said, yeah, there's a lot of traffic. Like, what do you mean there's a lot of traffic?
That means he was in a state. That means that people were like going by, just like, yeah, that guy is definitely wanking.
Yeah. He's just
slow moving car.
Jerking it whilst in a car. Yeah. It's like, come on. I don't think the car was very high off the ground either. So a bus would have had a real eyeful.
And all its passengers.
But yeah. I was like, Jesus, what? You went all the way with it as well.
Was it an open top?
Stack of receipts in the corner.
Stack of receipts. It was a motorbike.
No, I think it was. Like a Honda Civic or something.
Fair play to him.
Disgusting. And also, that is a crime.
So masturbating in a car.
Well, it's public exposure.
Public indecency.
If kids are on that bus driving past, or even the lorry drivers, like,
well, they shouldn't be driving, Ross.
Yeah, but you could argue that you're inside your own car, and you're not like. I think that inside your own car wouldn't be public indecency. Well, they do stop doggers.
Dogging's illegal.
They really do hate doggers.
Like, there are windows on these fuckers. I think it's, you're in public, you are seen. Like, I think it's different if you're in your own window in your house, but then if you are stood at the window jacking it, is there a limit there? Because if you're on a shop, let's say you're on a high street,
that's what I was,
you've got a
say.
Nice little flat on a high street, big windows. Yeah, you decide, high street, well, obviously, actually,
that's public
just
place.
Just tug it off.
What if you owned a restaurant and you live above it, and you're masturbating furiously outside the window of this restaurant, which has got
you're
a lot of foot
traffic?
Like hand on the window, and the other
hand on the window. Yeah, hand on the window. Pain. It's getting
it's like,
sweaty.
That's private
starting
property
to look like Titanic
in the flat above, but you're essentially
probably
doing it in front
indecent.
Of
yeah,
a public street.
I think you get done for that.
I find it strange that you can like say and do and get away with all sorts of heinous shit in life. You know, be through. You know, I know it's not freedom of speech is not necessarily a law enshrined like it is in the US and the UK, but like. Democracy is meant to ensure that, right? So you can say all sorts of stupid shit. You can trick people into stupid, harmful things. You can make people racist. You can make people anti-vax. You can lie. You can cheat. You can do all these things, but you can't have sex in a car. like it just feels so disproportionate
just the
and
nature
small.
Of Western
yeah, exactly.
Culture.
Yeah, and it's just stupid.
It's a case
it's just
of
like,
public exposure. Because I mean, if everyone was fucking, this is the thing. Like, if it was allowed, like, and it was just kind of like commonly happening around, I guess people would get used to it, numb to the idea, and then people are just shagging in the streets, just fucking against lampposts, and just like, yeah, that's legal, perfectly fine. Have a good one. You'll say as you walk past, my dog pisses on their legs.
I think the inner car for me is it's the same as like when a person's driving in down the middle of the city or the town or where they've got their windows up. They're listening to music, but they haven't got it offensively loud.
Sure.
Loud enough that you could maybe hear it through, you know, the window slightly if you're right next to the vehicle. But like I feel like there's a private space, right? You don't get mad at that person because you're like, when you're a person's in their car, they listen to the music that they like, you know, they do what they want in that space. It's kind of like their domain. They have control over it.
The sound stops inside the car, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think not always, but I mean, what I'm saying is there's a domain, there's an area of a person's, there's privacy ultimately to a car because a person respects that's a private space. People don't just jump in next to somebody, you know, in a car, but all right, you know, they understand that that is a space owned and controlled by a person. And they accept that choices will be made within that space, i.e. music choice, you know, based on that person's wants. So I'm just saying that it's the same thing. It is in a way a private space, and therefore they're not exhibiting themselves, and they're not, you know, perhaps trying to get other people engaged in what they're doing.
But
so
what,
I don't
that's
feel
what, that
really
is what's on. Getting them off is the fact that someone might see them. And that's also like, you know,
you'd have to prove that.
Up,
I don't think it should be presumed.
This guy's jerking. It looks up and smiles at the.
There we
guy
go. Well,
clearly...
then that shows that he's trying to entice others. He's trying to entice others.
I'm jerking it.
So
I'm
absolutely.
Come,
but if you
says,
can't prove that
window.
He's trying to entice others.
If he
then...
winds his window down, do the rules change?
You could do. Yeah. You've got to prove intent that they're enticing others to engage in acts, you know. That they may not have thought of doing before, or not within their own private space. I don't know.
It's, I'm not an RV with like an extending canopy. and you're banging under the canopy.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you're outside.
Under the canopy, you're outside, yeah.
What if canopy has, like, fabric, plastic walls?
Or like a, a camping, like a tent.
Then I think they're indoors. Are they see-through? Rather than unzip, what can you see?
Well,
are they enticing
window.
Anyone else to join? Peering. Are they forcing anyone to watch?
You see through the, like, the fly mesh, them going at it hardcore.
they're peering
well, then
over.
No, that's not acceptable because they haven't taken appropriate steps to, you know, like, if it's just a fly mesh and it's see-through and they're just shagging outdoors in front of people, then that's not okay. But if there's reasonable steps to conceal their lewd axe trot, it should be okay and other people should mind their own damn business.
What if the only witness was a
blind Amsterdam,
person?
For example, a lot of the houses have very, very big windows. There's a cultural observation that most people observe, which is don't look in the giant windows and stare at people in their own homes. People want to be able to open their windows and allow light and the scenery to come in without other people just looking straight at them and going, what are you doing? Like fish tank. You know, and that's just accepted. Maybe people should observe that and I'll let people bang in their cars. I don't really understand banging in cars as a tall man.
You've got a real
bee
in your bonnet about banging in cars.
It's an uncomfortable
I have a bee in my bonnet about anything that doesn't actually make fucking sense. Exactly. Put that on my poster.
Extremely nicely into our first hypothetical. Which is actually about the law, would you believe? The question is it ever okay to break the law, and why and when is that appropriate? I think banging in the car.
I think
that's so bizarrely appropriate.
Yeah,
but that's I think if you're trying to save someone's life, then I think it's appropriate. So, for example, when it comes to self-defense, which is obviously a very tricky situation, and obviously it's a big issue in America because everyone's got a gun, and so you could literally kill someone. It's not a case of just self-defense. It's, you're going to have to murder someone if they're murdering someone else. Not always, sure, but a lot of the time. I think that if you had a blunt object and you're seeing someone like about to beat someone up in a hard, like a big way, you need to stop them somehow. So you're committing a crime by hitting someone, right, to a degree. So that is where I think maybe it's okay.
What about the opposite?
Do you have any, if you're what? You're going to kill
someone. Euthanasia.
Oh, right. Okay, well, so if someone's in extreme pain, they've been in pain for a long time, and they think that that's... I think you should have the right to choose, personally. I don't think it's that decision. Well, this is the thing. Because obviously it really depends on timing, and obviously the illness... itself.
I think I should have the final say.
You think you should have the final say? Just for of everyone. Anyone who wants to. For everyone. So you
I
are
think
the...
it should go through me.
Okay. Right. but I mean, in general, yeah, I think if you do have an illness and stuff, and you, like you say, some people don't have agency anymore. So I think it's really impossible to tell, and it's a very tricky,
sound of mind.
Very difficult situation.
Yeah.
And I feel like there needs to be, more rights in that situation. But that's a very deep conversation.
I have no
real knowledge of.
It can go
this question
of.
Could go crazy. I mean, is it ever okay to break the law? Yes. Why and when is almost an endless list.
What about you're
the
hungry
law
and
is
you
just,
need food, but you couldn't really afford it, so you've stolen bread from the marketplace, but your little monkey keeps like taking bits of the bread off.
Is this Aladdin?
This is Aladdin.
This is Aladdin.
Story.
What if, for example, you're really hungry and you've got no money to pay for it, and some asshole keeps ringing these giant bells, and you're just trying to meet this really hot chick that's way out of your league, and one of your eyes is, I think, bigger than the other.
You've got a hunchback. Was he in that situation? I didn't remember the hunchback.
I don't remember the film either.
Was he
freaked me
poor,
out a bit.
Or was he being fed by the church?
Well, I don't know.
Sanctuary.
They do that, don't they? Sanctuary.
That's all. I don't remember it much. I think I saw that when I was a kid. I don't think I've seen it since.
Right. So laws are meant to be, I think, a reflection of culture, right? So laws move based on and are created. I mean, there's some like very base, like social human structure ones that like are required for humans to be able to like coexist, you know, things like don't kill each other. Typically what I guess the sins and things like that, you know, again, the idea of sins in religion and stuff is just, again, a reflection of social requirements for human beings to be able to work together. Larger stuff is based on consensus, like cultural consensus of like how a country currently feels about a certain thing, you know? So things like same-sex marriage and abortion and things like that tend to come from cultural movements or influenced by cultural movements when the majority of a population of a particular country believes something is the way it should be.
Wasn't at the forefront of equality.
Religion is an earlier form of proper bureaucratic law control, essentially, isn't it? Like religion is control. Yeah. Religion was also used as a functioning part of the state because people like churches and stuff would maintain records and stuff. So people, clergymen would often be perhaps only people who would read and write in a town or a village. So they would then record births, deaths. They would help the state to manage areas. So there was also more of a role for the church typically back in the day, in England at least. Nowadays, it's much more just the religious focus, but because that's been taken over by councils through tax because we have more complicated systems. But anyway, yeah, law should be reviewed, I think, as culture shifts and changes, right? So people now, for example, if you take weed in the UK, I think it's something around 60% of the UK population would be in favor of legalizing recreational weed.
I think Germany's working towards that, right?
Recently, it's just been announced. Yeah, so you know, there's no cultural perhaps push or cultural intention right now or need for it to happen. You know, like people, if asked, be like, yeah, sure, I don't really see the problem, but they're not going and voting and going, hey, I want legal weed. You know, they're not saying that. So eventually, if you instead reviewed, for example, criminal drug law, you would look at it and perhaps go, yeah, this does need some reform because it's clearly not
and really there's also working. There's also classification issues because isn't it a class B?
It is a class B now.
That seems high, doesn't it?
It was a C, like, then they moved up to a B again. Yeah,
but the other is quite high. but yeah, ultimately, like, there's also little control over what's actually on the streets, right? So but this has been, you know, the issue with drug laws in general, like because there's no legal measure of it, you have to just go with whatever's on the street, which can be filthy. Mm-hmm. Dirty drugs, whereas they could have it properly taxed, paid for, regulated in a sensible way like they are doing in the States and a place like Amsterdam and whatever. It could be safer, so you could be looking after your people a bit better. Mm-hmm. And not having them have the filthy skunk on the streets and have a bit more
exactly
of the options that you have in America, which are just so Willy Wonka's factory of joy. Is so much to choose from over there that you can literally just be like, okay, well, and it's all been regulated officially. Apparently, there's still a lot of loopholes they have to jump through to make it all work properly.
It's crazy what they have to do. Yeah.
And the startup costs are insanely higher than like any brewery or anything. But ultimately, they're, you know, making a step towards the right direction and for something that's not anywhere near as dangerous as something like alcohol as well. So, yeah, like reform for these things is kind of needed. And it's just, it feels like it's, pushed to the back, even though politicians profit from the same thing, like Theresa May's fucking husband.
Yeah, one of them.
And his weed farms.
Yeah.
Are these hemp farms that are for cannabis oil?
No, weed
oil?
As well, like because they provide medical marijuana to Europe.
Guys but, making millions off it, and yet it's not legal here. So exactly. That's fucking bollocks.
You have to get a license to make it medically, and then you export it for sale and consumption as well. Although medical weed is actually allowed in the country now, essentially, in summary, should you ever break the law? Is it ever okay to break the law? Where, why, and when? I think, really, as an individual, if you feel comfortable and if you feel that you're informed enough, choose which laws you think you believe in, frankly. There's a cost benefit
the main thing,
to
right?
there's a cost benefit to everything, right? There's a cost benefit, like, you know, by breaking a law, what are you potentially risking? So, you know, are you risking prison? You know, are you risking hurting someone? Are you risking, you know, a lot of things versus what you actually gain from going against the norm, right? Because plenty of people go against the norm. Think about when you drive on a dual carriageway in the UK. Yeah. I would say 70%, 75% of people will drive at 80 miles an hour on a motorway, you know, because everybody around them everybody around them is making the judgment that they're all comfortable breaking the law by 10 miles an hour because none of them will be judged for that. You know, none of them will be punished for that. The same in Bristol, right? People wander around smoking weed because they've made the judgment that the police aren't likely to enforce anything. And if they do, what happens isn't particularly bad. You get, you know, a warning, essentially, most of the time. Exactly. And Bristol and Avon police have said in the past that they don't enforce it very much because exactly they already have very little staff due to underfunding and they have bigger fish to fry. So, you know,
how many misdemeanors come from weed?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's what you can get, really.
I don't know.
I ultimately put this question in, right? And we haven't actually touched on it. We went straight to drugs. But say, for example, cop are throwing out an 8-pack of Kingsville crumpets and they're like, that's just waste. I want that. That's waste. That's waste food. I want the Kingsville 8-pack of crumpets. I'm taking that. That's breaking the law.
Yeah.
Why is it?
Have they thrown
illegal?
It out already or is it in the store and it's like reduced?
No, it's
because if they've thrown
skips.
It out already, I feel like, obviously, it's their right to prosecute if they want to, but I feel like 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't give a shit, right?
Most supermarkets throw away don't let the staff use any of that stuff.
Oh, really?
At all.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Because they're worried about it encouraging an atmosphere of
they're all
going to
wait until the
waste.
End of the day and then,
But, I mean, ultimately, I think it's one of these situations where it does more harm to have this waste and don't let anyone do anything culture than it does to be like, you know what, if you work at Morrison's and there are some shit left over the day, we want to reward you and say, yeah, have it, take it home with you, you know, like you work here, we trust you and we're sure that you wouldn't waste when you shouldn't, because we're in this together, you know, and appeal to people that way. But none of these companies will trust their employees. They will never, they're more likely go, no, we can't encourage some sort of culture of that, and that's ultimately
consumerism
harmful. So it is bullshit, but essentially the reason that those things don't change fast enough, those laws about waste and throwing it away and all that sort of shit, is because we have a very, very slow legislative system in the UK, especially. Like, our laws don't change very quickly. It's whatever, but it's exactly, so you've got to think, right, what laws make sense to me, what laws do I think would actually be enforced upon me, because you can probably make a more nuanced judgment, I think, than laws that may have been created 50 years ago. I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm not saying go out and break laws, but I am saying that you've only got one life. Maybe interpret, just don't harm other people, obviously.
I think you just YOLO'd it.
I mean, I would, obviously, I'm, you know, in this mindset, it's very nuanced, isn't it? But like,
you're carjacking. I don't think so. Can't afford that car, but it looks like, good.
I'm gonna think that's at someone's expense.
Yeah, with a knife,
usually. But if it's
exactly. I've never harmed another person. That's not okay. Right. You know, that's because that's what people. This is ultimately right. It's like, I think a lot of people get fixated on the idea of what is legal and being what is right, and that those things are actually entirely separate, right? So, like, you know, so people think like, oh, that's a law, that's bad, or we can't do that, it's illegal, or like, this is the way things are because of this law, and it's like,
the consequences of your actions on this will affect other people on down the line in some way. That's why it may be illegal.
I guess everything has a cause.
But also where you think, it depends if it's something for yourself. If you're taking drugs or whatever, like, that's on you. If you're pushing them, then that's a different step, isn't it? Whereas if you're only doing things that affect yourself, but obviously, like we were talking about, you know, speeding or whatever, like, that could affect someone else's life technically, so that's why it is a contentious issue. You know, if someone drink drives and you're like, well, you think you're all right on the roads with a couple of drinks, you're fine, but the moment they run down some kids, that's a fucking different story, right?
And absolutely, and it's measurable. The delay that you get from drinking a few pints is measurable. You know, as in your reactions. Yeah, exactly. Your actions have increased the chance of a person dying. What I'm saying is, that's not really any different to driving a bit too fast on the road. Because everyone makes that decision, because you're essentially can't see the wood for the trees, then it's one of these things that you can get away with, and you know you can get away with. You know, but other things, not so much. But what I was saying is, like, that it's important to break this distinction between the idea of something being enshrined in law and it being morally right, or because something is not enshrined in law, it is not morally right or it is not morally wrong. Like, laws are made by people. They are often people with certain influences upon them. And they're made by a certain type of person as well. So, like, you need to bear that in mind. Like, the laws are designed to maintain society. They're not necessarily designed to benefit you individually as well. I mean, yeah, fuck. But anyway, this should probably get back to the funny, I guess.
I'm taking those Krispy Kremes if they're out there and they're on the skip. They're mine. Yeah. I've never done that. Anyway, now's an option for you all to make that hard choice in your life as to whether you should be a patron or not, because you're going to get an ad if you don't. Here we go.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you around the table.
Anyway, welcome back. Did you get the ad or not? Did you make the right choice? That's up to you, really. But thanks.
I didn't get one earlier on. I listened to last week just to make sure it was all good the other day and didn't get one.
Sometimes you don't get one.
I was lucky.
That's okay. Yeah, you can be the lucky one.
Speaking of last week, though, Ross didn't bring this up, and I was like, that sounds like a funny thing to briefly mention. You went to a beagle meet, didn't you?
A beagle meetup.
Did they try to give it a funny name? Can you think of a pun?
No, I don't think they came up with a name for it. I keep bumping into someone who's got a beagle as well, and they arranged it, and they managed to get 50-odd beagles in one place up Ashton Court. It was amazing. Beagles everywhere.
So many
it was
beagles.
Incredible. It was such an amazing experience. So and they all sniffed each other's asses. Some of them were so fucking like excited and like running around, like nipping at each other's ears and stuff.
Did you take any photos of all of them?
I took a few photos of them in groups.
I want to see the crowd if you can.
Let's see.
Was there one where you were on the floor and they're all jumping over you like puppies, because they're all really heavy, it fucking hurts?
I think some people were cautious about letting their dog completely off.
You worry that Murphy might go around and impregnate a few of them?
Well, I mean,
there
you're good at
risk.
He's still got his bowels. He's got his torpedoes. I've kind of got like... it's not very clear. I don't know if that's kind of focusing.
Come on, focus.
Is it on autofocus?
Oh yeah, there you go.
So there's like kind of like there's Murphy in the middle there. If you're able to watch this, you'll be able to.
It's a big field.
Was he like? You brought me to my people.
There, sniffing another beagle's dog. There's loads of other beagles around there.
Do they think they're on a hunt?
Well, this is, it felt like a hunt. It was basically just a load of them together, all sniffing each other's asses. And Murphy ran off at one point into a thicket of trees. I thought he'd go out the other side, and then couldn't find him.
And so then a different dog came out, and you just went, this one.
And I was like, is that my one?
That's a beagle.
That's not my one.
You've home aloned him.
But then I managed to find him. I got a little tracking device on him. Little fucker can't get away from me. He's stuck.
Is it a suppository?
So, I mean, it comes out every day. I've got to pop it back in. Got to pop it back in every day.
Got to recharge it by USB. Poop.
There it is. Nice one. Capsule back in. Lovely.
But, he hates this.
Probably shouldn't talk about leaky buttholes. Shot.
Yeah, Mochi was leaking discharge everywhere, and they had to take it to the vet.
Discharge fluids, no.
I mean, it's fine for me.
Of course, you've experienced it now. What was the smell like, though? Describe that to everyone.
Oh, you can imagine. It's pretty rancid.
Leaky. It's the word leaky, I think. Leaky and fluids.
Like
fluids.
Uncontrolled. Falling out. Yeah. Pretty gross.
Because you've got to make sure you drink enough
was
fluids.
Was it on a fur?
But not those kind of fluids.
It's surprising how much fur she has and how little shit gets in there. I think
that is nuts, because she's like a little pillow, like a fluffy, like cloud-like pillow.
We trim around the back anyway to like reduce.
Was it projectile? Oh, you do? Okay. Nice. That's disgusting, though.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
It's pretty nasty. What, did they put like a cork in it?
Well, I dropped off Mochi. I didn't actually see the process. So
nice, that's good.
It's just a tube. It's a tube, and they try and judge the length of tube they need. And one end is this, and then just the other end.
Siphon.
Scott Hope didn't raise
budget cuts. Budget cuts. We've got to siphon it ourselves.
I hope you've chosen enough pipe so it doesn't hit your mouth.
That's a short end. That's a short end. That's the cutoff you used, you son of a bitch.
You told me they went for a shit beforehand.
I've got fluids all in my mouth.
Oh my god. Not Christ, fluids. I feel like I've just eaten a burnt shepherd's pie.
A burnt shepherd's pie would probably be nice in comparison.
No funny Japanese spits me ups, just leaky ass.
No.
Have you looked into a spits meetup, or maybe even just sneak her into a Pomeranian meetup?
Yeah, I reckon
I think she'd be right.
Sneak her into one of those. Yeah,
I don't know if there are many dog meetups. That's an interesting question, because I don't know if that's even a.
I don't.
This
think
was just
so.
A
I've never heard of
stance.
One.
This was.
I go
like,
to
oh,
lizard meetups
Sunday, come back.
Near constantly.
Yeah. Lizard meetups. Yeah.
I was at two this morning.
Yeah. And they just watch.
I go with all of them.
Timidly
like,
holds their lizards.
Hang
on, he's going to jump off. Don't show your food.
Oh,
don't show him those grubs.
You really
you're not wearing
be
red
enclosure.
Nail varnish, are you? He's freezing. I've got a little hot pocket. He's got one of those hand warmers taped around him.
Do you ever worry about your animals being bored?
Yes.
Like, as in just like, oh, what are you doing all day? Like,
Big
what
time.
Do you want to do? But I guess their reference of time is so much different than ours.
I think the smarter the dog, the more aware of time they are. And like,
think so?
You can get behavioral issues from not stimulating your dog.
Well, they get scheduled in the sense they, you know, like walking times, feeding times, stuff like that. So that, I guess, they attune to. But
well, I had Cocker Spaniels, which were very much underwalked, underutilized exercise-wise, which they have a high exercise requirement.
Yeah.
And developed behavioral issues because they got bored and they just started doing things to like gain attention, like breaking stuff or being possessive of things. And, being unnecessarily aggressive and like hostile, bomb backed into a corner, that sort of thing. So I think they definitely can get bored. I think the like dumber the animal, the easier it is to like just have a chill dog like Mochi. Mochi's very chill.
Just
and there's not
a
lot of thoughts
shit.
Going on in her brain. I really try and think like, is she really thinking right now? And then I realize that she's just like still processing the command I gave her like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Just staring up at you with a smile on her face.
And then she does it and is like, what happened in that space of where I said, like, come on then, come up on the sofa. And she just stares at you for like 30 seconds, like, oh, yeah, fuck. And then jumps on the sofa.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like suddenly really exciting. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you gauge that from your lizards? Do they have facial expressions that you could ever read? Or is it just like, oh, his tongue moved slightly different today? He blinked twice.
Dorito.
He's blinking once in one eye.
No,
the
they do. They are strange. They are strange. They're definitely not like fish, you know? Like they're somewhere between a bird and a fish, I always think.
A bish.
But like a bish or a furred. no, the bigger they are, I think the smarter they are with lizards. So my bearded dragon is definitely the one I worry most about because she's...
Do they try to escape?
Pretty smart. Yeah, they're not trying to escape. She just likes a bit of variety, and I've worked out that she doesn't like pooing in her tank.
Oh,
and so
on your hand.
Before she poos, she desperately tries to get out of the tank, so she glass surfs a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, all I can do is like run her. Well, because if I put her down, like take her out and let her have a run around, which I do because I like her to have a run around and see stuff. Mm-hmm. She won't poo straight away. So it's not like I can put her down on a poo pad or something like that.
Do it.
She'll run around for a bit and then I'll find it like on the carpet somewhere or like underneath the TV. And it's really gross poo. It'd be, you know, it's not great.
I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as gross as the fluids out of Munch's ass. And
maybe not.
Murphy's regular poos are pretty fucking rough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, then
I
probably
still get to somewhat control where that happens though. Somewhat.
Bearded dragon poo is 90% as bad as dog poo. Like, I'd rather not handle dog poo, but bearded dragon poo is horrifically smelly. It is.
Really?
It's like pig shit. It's like, because they're omnivorous.
And cat shit.
It's really stinky. So
really
you, bad. And it's often dribbly as well. So anyway.
Yeah.
Delicious. Yes, so the bearded dragon, I can tell, needs stimulation. Randy is easy as hell. He's a little leopard gecko. He just wanders about, sometimes gets excited. I don't know why. then he will not be interested. I don't know why. Yeah. And I just constantly worry about my chameleon dying because it's really fragile. Crazy and fragile. And,
do you think you'd want to read their minds? I think we've no, may have asked this before.
No,
but it's like, because I feel why? Like I don't. I feel like I'd feel worse because it's like, well, now I have to like really communicate with them.
Yeah,
like, in a, but in a bigger way. Like, see, like they have, if they have real demands, I yeah. may have to go through with those demands. They mm-hmm. might and feel guilty like if I don't. If I can't,
it's going to be disappointing or upsetting, and I don't think there's going to be like an in between. You're just going to realize things about your like, dog that you didn't want
prick.
To know.
I hate you.
Yeah, or they're just going to be like very. Basal like survival instinct and that's it.
Yeah.
Like no emotional connection there. I'm worried that it's either one of those two and I'd just rather, you know, pour all my humanity onto the dog, form a fake personality with them and live naively in that life.
Yeah. That's absolutely fine. But there's a part of me that wants to hear him talk. Just to hear what his voice sounds like.
Rose.
I think he came from the Ukraine. Like one of his parents came from the Ukraine. Would he have a Ukrainian accent is the real question. I don't think he would.
No.
He was brought up here, so he might have a Bristolian accent. God forbid.
Here
ain't meat. Cheers, let's go for a walk, mate. I'm hungry. I'm fucking hungry.
Let's go find your little hole to poo in. I want to push my poo in.
Find that hole again. I'm going to go right down it again. Perfect aim. You're really good at it. You are really good at that. What about that tree, though?
I had a thought, Smith, when you were talking about taking your lizard out and showing the sights, which I assume is your flat. Have you thought
of course.
It, about creating dioramas, like a Wild West-like street
amazing.
With a saloon that you can walk around in? Like it's like going on holiday. You can take them anywhere.
You can theme them up.
They wouldn't care about that.
But it's more about that. That's when it's more about you. It's more about
think
you.
Think of the Instagram.
What about nativity scene?
You know what I'm like with making things with my... I'm not good at making things from cardboard and shit. I just am not.
I'd love to see the attempt.
It'd be a mess.
You can make it a Lego house. Yeah.
She wouldn't care. She just would not care about what she's climbing over. Like, she just doesn't.
This is 1889. Come on.
Do you not realize I've been making working lever action rifles 1/16th the scale?
You can fire it.
There's an automatic playing piano in the corner, god damn it. There's a honky tonking over there. Now wear the hat and fucking play along.
Now there are some funny like Instagram
characters in there.
People making like costumes for their bearded dragons and stuff.
Yeah.
But they're fun. No, bearded dragons are lovely. They're so, like, she's never even snapped at me once. Like, they're ridiculously peaceful creatures, really, apart from when they need a shit. But should we just answer? Should we do the second hypothetical?
No? Throw it out.
So if you want to.
I haven't read it. What is it?
The second one.
Or we can do some funny news.
We can whiz through this question.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why are people told to respect the dead?
I think it's more of a we should respect people in general, right?
Yes.
So if someone has died, then respect them. But if they were a shitty person, I don't think they deserve any extra respect.
They're dead now.
You know,
because they're not gonna be offended.
Think of if they're a criminal or a horrific person.
I think
in
you're
general,
more offending
done
the
horrible
person
atrocities. I'm not going to show them any more respect just because they died.
I think it's less
I
about...
I won't mention them again.
It's less about the dead person and more about the person that's still attached to that person that's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. Exactly. Yeah.
So don't say that about my mum or my dad or my dog or my cat.
Sure.
That's it, really.
I think ultimately it comes down to the... Yeah, absolutely, you're right. It's about that person's respect for the... In a way, the person's relationship to that person. Definitely. But really, and what that person or people did, as well, is worth remembering for everybody, for humanity.
Okay, it's Jimmy Savile.
In the restaurant. All right,
it's Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, but I don't think respect the dead is used in that context of a
it
known
was in that
paedophile
Louis
necrophilia. They said respect the dead.
Well, there was some people throwing respect on his name. It's like,
yeah, that's just stupid. Obviously, like, there's contention and conflict that comes from this. Like, people are like, you know, you need to respect dead. I mean, obviously, particularly we had Remembrance Sunday last week. That is when I was sort of 16, 17, I was wandering through Bristol, funnily enough, with some mates and one of my friends who's very smart guy, very enlightened guy. And well, at the time is what I thought of him anyway. And somebody was there collecting for like help for heroes. And they were just like, oh, would you like to help, like help the heroes or something like that? And he literally just said, like, I don't think they're heroes. And I was just like, that is a very bold statement to make
right
at 17. And yeah, like to a person that's probably not acting in a way that's nefarious, you know, not probably it's maliciously hostile, gathering. But it did make me think at the time. I was just like, now it is worth questioning. Yeah, right. Soldiers, you know, aren't heroes. Like a lot of the time, it's because people are really hurting that they've lost someone is what sucks so bad about that. And the sad thing is that by making them heroes, essentially we're telling more people like a lie almost, like that they're, you know, rather than...
I guess so, but they stood up to the plate when they've, I mean, they may not have.
The problem is, exactly.
To, and sure,
so the intentions of soldiers, I'm sure, yeah, exactly, are like positive things. They want to do, you know, they want to stand up for, yeah, the rights and the ideas of their country. And they want to perhaps, well, that's the idea, right? You bring democracy to countries, you do things like that. I think the problem is ultimately that, like, that is not what they end up getting used for a lot of the time by politicians, ultimately.
Yeah, of course. But that's a political thing. I think the more... In that instance, that like there will be no need to disrespect them, right?
Exactly. And like you say, it's just about respecting people in general. Yeah. Everybody should respect each other unless given a reason not to. I mean, the other problem with the sort of respecting each other is, you know, again, walking through central Bristol from the gym to my flat... you get accosted by people that you don't want to talk to, you know, and you feel a bit like...
I'm sorry about that, man.
Sorry,
I was just walking past. I just thought I'd say hi.
But I mean, like, you know, people like who want to sign you up to some charity thing, people who want to take, you know, they want money from you because they're homeless, people, you know, this, that, and the other. And sometimes just crazy people, and sometimes just, you know, people who are drunk as hell. And you wish that when you walk through there, you wouldn't be... talked to or engaged with, because you'd hope that they respect your space and respect your privacy, but they don't. So you equally, I think, need to be able to judge or respond to something. This is the problem with the mutual respect thing. I don't think everyone practices it, honestly.
I think it's a good thing to treat people the way you want to be treated, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there will be rare instances where you're treated like shit, and it's just like, well, you just leave that situation feeling shit, and you're just like, well, I'm not going to treat someone like that. So put that to one side. And but in terms of, respecting the dead, I think, like you say, just I'd respect them the same way that I respect people today.
Being accosted.
For a living.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a help heroes guy coming up to you or like saying like, have you got a minute to like just take the survey? You just lock eyes with them and say, respect the dead, and then just walk away.
Yeah. I think that would work. Or if you start asking them, or if you flip it on their head and say, well, actually, as long as you sign up to mine, and then like maybe come up with some crazy charity that, you know, maybe is for horrible atrocities, like funding war or, you know, nuclear war on poor countries. You say, well, I'll sign up to yours if you sign up to mine. You bring out like, you know, always have a spread, like a little sheet on you, whip it out, and then they won't want to engage with you, and you can move on. Or you can just look down at the ground and kind of just... make sure your headphones are in and kind of like, or like maybe, oh, I've got a phone call. Sorry.
I can see your phone. It's locked. It's locked.
It is locked.
You say that in the phone call thing. I literally had a guy start talking to me when we were filming that video, when we were looking for those buses that had our faces on them.
Oh, yeah.
And my scooter broke halfway around, like looking around Bristol.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm ringing you guys and I'm like, yeah, guys, the scooter's broke. And I'm like mid conversation. And then this guy just goes, what do you think of them then? And I'm just like,
what?
I'm like, sorry, one sec. He's like, yeah, they good at them? Are they all right? And I'm like, I could not believe this guy was just straight up engaging with me. And he was kind of this slightly eccentric sort of dude in his like 70s or something that had been rolling around on this like bicycle that had like streamers on it or something like that. Like he wasn't being like offensive or aggressive. I was just a bit like, fuck me. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone. I'm trying to talk to someone. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick here, but you're just talking to me whilst I'm trying to hear what someone I need to talk to is saying.
And I feel like that's quite rare in the UK, though.
Yeah. Well, in America, not to me, apparently.
In America, it's rife. Like, people will just talk to anyone openly. They'll talk about anything and just like kind of interrupt you to go, hey, I like your jacket. And it's like, oh, Right, okay, cool. Like, that's, I don't think anyone's ever bothered to, like, stop you in the street to say something like that. But, yeah. In the UK, not so much.
No,
a little bit more now. I've walked a lot with a dog. Some people...
The dog is like an inn.
About the dog, right?
Yeah.
But otherwise, yes, I've not had the...
Doggers. Other you mean other doggers?
Other doggers, yeah. Of course. Can I even go next? No, it's my turn.
Wait, Ross turn. Looks around. Just scroll fuck free off. Use on me and fuck off.
Just fuck off. Yeah, just get a lipstick out. Doodle on my ass. I'm busy.
I was just going to say how... I mean, it's totally irrelevant now. That's really taking a turn.
I apologize.
But how often you have like a Deliveroo or Uber Eats rider... deliver food whilst they're on the phone. It's like they're on the phone so often.
Yeah.
Just chatting away.
Or Uber like drivers.
Uber riders as
I
well.
Have that a just lot,
like
yeah.
Full-blown conversations. Like, I guess that's like to mitigate boredom or something.
Yeah, but didn't but we like, have that in America where we all got
it's
in
like
the car,
Discord, like four though, isn't of it? Us. We spend our evenings on Discord.
Yeah, but true. There was a guy who had an open call with his wife, I think, and there was like a baby crying and they had an argument or something.
Yeah, well,
do you remember that? We were just like, we're just quietly sat in the Uber. And like he's just had, he has this open call, and I think it was in a different language. To be honest, I don't know what the Spanish maybe. I think he was speaking. Do you remember that? That was in when we went to the. That was the time you threw up into the fountain. It's my own reference point to.
I think I remember that as well. Yeah.
But it was around that time that we had also a really crazy, sketchy Uber driver. Just
that was
really
the one that you had to like
dipped, and
you had to like stop it. Watch out! You're back or something like that, right?
Yeah. Wait! You're rolling back. Like, oh yeah. We're going to die in this car. This guy isn't paying his throat. I'm going to have to hold the wheel, guys.
I hate when they're so fucking vacant, less vacant than you'd be. It's like, look, man, I get it. We all like, we're all pretty vacant driving sometimes, especially when we've been doing it for a long time that day. But like when you're just like, man, you're rolling backwards for a significant amount of times.
Huh? That was it. I pulled his handbrake because we were on a hill and we started running back. Yeah. And there was there's a car behind us. I had to pull the handbrake. That's nuts. Yeah.
Well, anyway. No. I think that's all we've got time for today.
I think it is, mate. Yeah, we'll have to use those news stories for next time.
Indeed. Well, I hope you enjoyed our episode today, episode 76, the same year, 1976, when One Flew Over the Cuckoo Nest came out, and Taxi Driver.
That's great. That's a nice little bit of trivia.
There you go, a bit of trivia.
Fucking random.
If you want to support us and have cool facts like that, I put it on the fact of hypothetical. I was like, what happened in 76? Of episode 76, and I put that on there. So if you want little nuggets of facts like that, high value Patreon at Films, you also get an ad-free version of the podcast. So thanks everyone for checking that out. Also, if you'd like to make a fingal like Bog Boy, who made our fingal today,
get a hat that was different. Something different.
Films.com. Thank you. Check the email out.
Well, that's good. Bunty Chunks came out of their mum in 76. That's good.
Nice one, Bunty Chunks.
That's really nice.
God damn it.
What's going to happen in 78? That's what we need to find out next time, right?
Well, 77, Ross.
It's only going to get hotter over the next... 77, of course.
Yeah.
77, of course, follows 76. you go up in twos. Ross counts in twos.
I'm trying to think of what's in 78, but I just can't get there.
I use base two.
When was Star Wars out?
That is 77. Anyway, all right. We'll see you all next week for another episode of Hand Chat. Stay safe out there.
Stay
sexy.